Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you are about to hear is a message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped, a special Christmas series from our TV broadcast, Prophetic Witness. For more information, visit billybrim.org.
And so anyway, we're going to, they say that we stole the 25th, that it's really a pagan holiday.
December 25th.
But that's not what caused us to celebrate Christmas.
And
we're going to delve into some deep things that show why we celebrate the 25th of December.
Good.
Now, but first, to understand this, you need to understand that God has a calendar. He has a calendar he goes by. We call it the Hebrew calendar. We call it the Jewish calendar. But it's not. It's the God calendar. And it's the calendar of redemption. Its special dates are marking special dates on redemption. And actually, this calendar began, God's calendar has two, and the Jews keep two calendars. They keep the civil calendar, which has its New Year's Day in September, Rosh Hashanah, and then they keep the sacred calendar. Now, they had the civil calendar long before they had the sacred calendar, and the civil calendar, it begins with its New Year's Day on the day of creation, the day Adam was created. But the civil calendar, the sacred calendar begins when they were redeemed out of the hands of the Egyptians,
right.
When they came out of Egypt. And so I'm going to read to you a little bit about this. This is in Exodus chapter 12. You need to understand that things happen with God on God's calendar on dates. And you're going to understand when we get through here, either this week or this month, week or next week, whatever, we're going to have really given you some good basis for the why December 25th is a date on God's calendar. And so here we go.
Okay.
In chapter 12, they're coming out of Egypt. They're going to have that Seder meal. They're going to have that Passover meal. And as they're coming out, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, they're still in Egypt, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So God is introducing to them another new year.
So this is the sacred.
This is the sacred new year. And it's going to begin with, and he tells them how to keep the Passover lamb. So now, Shelley, let's go over to Leviticus chapter 23, which is this sacred calendar of the history of redemption. It foretells and it sets forth God's great plan of redemption. The numerical Bible calls it the great calendar of prophecy. And so it's very interesting. The number 7 is prevalent. It has 7 appointed seasons and 7 moeds in the first 7 months. It's very, very precise the way God is.
Yes.
But we're going to look just at the main. Begin there, Shelley, by reading the first 2 verses.
Okay. So this is Leviticus chapter 23.
This is God's calendar.
God's calendar. Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, now I have italicized the word concerning. So that means it was not in
it's
the original
there.
Hebrew.
Mm-mm.
So, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, the feasts of the Lord. Now, you're looking at me and I'm looking at you.
Because we know that word's not feasts.
Right.
What is that word?
Moed.
What does moed mean?
Appointed time. These are God's appointed time. This of Yahweh, Yud Heh Vav Heh. This is His calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Pa 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 pa.
And these are the dates He has circled.
And these are the, oh, I love that, that He has circled on His calendar. Yes. So we do well to pay attention.
Yes. And pay attention because they mark redemption. And that word is moed. It does mean appointed time, fixed date. So now go on down to verse 4. and read those, Shelley.
And these are the feasts or the moeds of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover.
So Passover, the Passover, you remember they're coming out of Egypt and they offer the lamb and they put the blood on the doorposts and over the top, over the lintel. And it's the Lord's Passover because the death angel is going to come.
Yes.
The destroyer. And if you slay this little lamb and you put the blood up there, and when that death angel sees that blood, he has to pass over. He can't come in that house. And that's all that stops him.
We have a reenactment of that here in Branson with Sight and Sound Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's called Moses.
Their play.
And they show that.
Oh, it's so,
isn't that great how they do that?
I think that's leaving Branson this year, and it's probably going to go back up, I don't know, to Pennsylvania.
Oh, but it's so good.
So powerful. So powerfully illustrated. Each of the little families, you can look there in the theater, and you're in the middle of it, and they're all celebrating. But what you had to do was get behind that blood, and then the death angel would pass over. Now, right at that very time, and I'm going to ask them to show you this graphic. There are seven feasts, and four of them come right there close together, three of them right here. And then the feast, right the day of Passover,
mm-hmm.
There comes the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that's for 7 days. You eat matzah.
We've
don't
been
have any
there.
Leaven. Yeah,
oh,
we've
yeah.
been there. And then after that, you have the first fruits, the sheaf of the first fruits. So those three come all together during the same week, you might say. And so they show, what do they show? Jesus is
redemption.
The Passover lamb.
Yes.
Leaven is a type of sin.
Yes.
He did away with sin.
Thank God.
And so you have 7 days of unleavened bread. And then it is written here in verse 9 that you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before you unto the Lord to be accepted for you. So they take this, the crop that they're reaping at that time is the barley harvest. So they take the barley, that's the early crop, and they wave it before the Lord. Now, we are told in Colossians 1:18, we are told that Christ is the first fruits. So, of resurrection. In Colossians 1:18, Revelation 1:5, 1 Corinthians 15:20, and Acts 26:23, he is the first fruits of resurrection. So, he resurrected that first week.
And you think about, he told Mary, don't touch me yet when you're at the sepulcher, because he had to go up and wave him.
Offer his blood.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the first fruits. So those three, every one of these seven feasts have a fulfillment.
Yes.
And so he was the Passover lamb. He did away with the leaven, and he's the first fruits of resurrection. Now you're going to count 50 days.
Right. Okay.
And 50 days after that, then you're going to have this next day that God has circled on his calendar. Verse 15 and 16, please read those, Shelley.
And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall ye complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord.
All right, now, they've had those first three fulfilled, and then they're going to count seven times seven, 7 weeks times seven, and then they're going to add one more day, and that's going to be 50. So what this is called by the Hebrews, they call it the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. But the first time the Bible was translated into another language, it was translated into Greek, the Septuagint, and they called it Pentecost. So then you're going to have, after those first three that are in the same week, you're going to count 50 days, and you're going to have Pentecost. So what happened on Acts chapter 2?
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
The outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost.
On Pentecost.
Then you're going to have a space here where there's no holidays. Holidays is holy days.
So that's a great point.
Yeah. And so you're going to have these weeks. Then you're going to go over to the unfulfilled feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And they are Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year.
Yes.
And they are 10 days later.
Now, what about Feast of Trumpets?
That's Feast of Trumpets is Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the civil year. Mm-hmm. And it's Rosh Hashanah, head of the year. And it's Feast of Trumpets. Then you count 10 days and you have Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Which is
Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement. And then you count 5 more days and you begin a whole week of celebration of the Feast of Sukkot. It's what's called in the Bible. Booths, tents, tabernacles.
Feast of Tabernacles.
Feast of Tabernacles. And the fulfilling of that will be, because it's a great joy, the fulfilling of that feast is going to be when he comes and sets up his earthly kingdom, visible kingdom.
He will tabernacle among us.
Well, now we're going to get to that. But then, that's going to have to do with the birth of Jesus. But he's going to come, Shelley, the fulfilling of it.
Yeah, filling.
Prophecies have fillings, and then they have fulfillings. And the fulfillings of that great feast of joy is when all the harvests are in, and there's joy on the earth, and the devil's been done away with, and there's a great rejoicing because a King of Kings and David is ruling.
Hallelujah.
King David as well.
Yes.
So now that's the seven feasts. And they are seven moeds. Now you understand that everything God's done, he's done according to this calendar. So wouldn't you suppose that when he sends Jesus to come on this earth, he would come according to the God calendar?
Yes.
And so we're going to be, Shelley, you've got the Bullinger Bible there.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Sister Wilkerson, Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, what Bible do you recommend? And she, of course, recommended another one, and this one, the Bullinger Bible. Oh, am I glad I learned how to use the Bullinger Bible.
Thank God.
E.W. Bullinger has notes
so appreciate
in his companion Bible.
Yes.
Now, Shelley, we're going to go over there to this teeny-weeny little type, mm-hmm. and Bullinger is going to prove to you that there's a reason why we celebrate the 25th as Christmas. So you start reading there on page 198 at the bottom.
Okay. It thus appears without the shadow of a doubt that the day assigned to the birth of the Lord, December 25th, was the day on which he was, quote, begotten of the Holy Ghost, unquote, by what the Greek word is, pneuma or hagion, divine power. You'll find this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 20.
He was begotten of the Holy Ghost and Mary, you know?
Yes. And his birth took place on the 15th of Ethanim.
Ethanim.
Ethanim. Mm-hmm. Get my accent right. The 15th of Ethanim, which is, his birth would have taken place September 29th in the year following. Thus making beautifully clear the meaning of John chapter 1, verse 14.
Well, let's read John 1, 14.
Okay, let's do.
Let's just go back there because John, you know, he doesn't start with the baby in the manger. The others do. Each of them give us a different view.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We hope you enjoyed the message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped. For more information, visit BillyBrim.org.